previously on the magic missile.
We got to get to Brashev so we can return that battle axe to Eldrag's horde. Let's stay here then tonight.
So why can't I keep the battle axe? I seem to remember really liking it before.
You really liked the battle axe. I don't think the rest of the party liked you having the battle axe.
You look deep into the eyes of these graceful creatures and see the souls of these equine beings, and you know deep down on a spiritual level that they will be okay and they will make it through. That this is just another hardship. You lost the horse, and by the end of an hour or two, the five of you are quickly seen as the town's full heroes. And as you get closer, you see kind of wind blowing billows of smoke over the road that you're crossing. As the smoke clears, you realize you actually haven't been moving around a battlefield. You've been standing in one place in front of a rock, yelling at each other as you hit a big rock. The ground kind of vibrates, and it moves exactly in time with the trees, as if there's a wind sucking the trees in and then blowing them out. It's gentle. It's not with force. You see lying in the path ahead of you an arm about 8 feet long. Welcome to the Magic Missile. This is our 26th session of the Battle for Ursulania campaign, a homebrew campaign that we're been running since 2017, I believe. So it's been a while.
Rounded out the alphabet.
Yeah, just gonna do a quick recap and then we'll get into things. So we're joining the Chainbreakers. They're on a journey to return a battle axe through the small village of Brashev. They traveled to the small town of Dry Gulch and found themselves facing off against Diabolus, the Dark Prince. Having successfully fought him off for the time being, the party debated on whether to leave town or not, afraid of being blamed for the ensuing chaos. After all, the town's heroes, a rival group known as the Mistcallers, had been all but destroyed from the fight. Set with the decision to stay close to town just in case something goes wrong, the party headed back to the local inn, where the innkeeper had comped the rooms, and the party stayed for another night. The next morning, as a sign of appreciation, a gracious villager brought breakfast for everyone, leading to the party helping citizens rebuild around Dry Gulch, and thus becoming admired heroes of the small town. The Chainbreakers headed out of town a little later that morning at a very fast pace. They came upon a narrow canyon draped in a sweet-smelling smoke from a nearby field that was burning out. The smoke caused each party member to hallucinate. Each member saw their own dangerous creature that you had to fight until you started to break out of your individual illusions. And you discovered that the smoke was from a nearby alchemist farm that had been burned down, and found in the ruins of this farm were ingredients for stabilizing a downed person and a potion of polymorph. After continuing down the path a bit further, you've wandered into a forest and you started to feel the ground shake in a rhythmic pattern. The trees seemed to breathe in and out, and you came upon a large giant snoring in the middle of the path ahead, blocking your travel. And that's where we pick up now. The giant.
Is he large for a giant, or is he just large?
He's large in the sense that all giants are large. I would say fairly average for a giant.
Is he large like the archers?
The whole team?
Whole team.
The giant, barely visible in the heavy snow, shifts slightly, and all of you have to kind of stable yourselves as the ground starts to shake underneath you. Go ahead, and everyone, we'll start off with a stealth check.
Oh, Lord.
What if we don't do that?
Oh, Lord. I don't have any bardic inspirations out or anything like that, so...
Damn.
How did I roll the worst? I have a plus six. Holy shit.
Tobar, do you get advantage? Is that like a ranger?
No, I just rolled twice.
Oh.
Interesting. I mean, it might be a ranger thing. Remember, we thought that load double rolling initiative was just a mistake, and that turned out to be a barbarian thing. So
true.
I don't know then.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Advantage thing on your D&D Beyond next to the stealth.
So we've got Voir with an 18, Tovar with a 14, John with a 9, Load with a 20, and Rifier with a nat 20 for a 27. So great rolls all around. John, as you're kind of struggling to kind of get through the heavy snow, your small legs kind of trudging and taking the extra effort, you step on a branch buried underneath the snow, and there's a muffled and the giant kind of rolls and turns to his side and then falls back on his back, not quite awake yet. What do you guys do?
Is this guy... I mean, do we think this guy's asleep for any, like, nefarious reasons, or is he just a big dude lying in a clearing?
Asleep for nefarious reasons.
Yeah, I think
way to phrase that.
That is pretty funny.
He's dreaming dastardly.
Like apex predators almost.
Well, that's what... Hey, yeah, Load.
In the road.
Load, you know a weirdly high amount about giants.
It's not that weird. I grew up with them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just meant comparatively.
Hey, guys, shut up.
everyone, shut the fuck up.
Load, make one more stealth check. as you say that, the giant starts to kind of wake up and stir, and he gets up onto his elbows and turns and...
What are you doing here?
I mean, I'll probably volunteer to talk. So I'm familiarity with giants.
I think go I'm buried in the snow, so yeah, you go for it, man.
We're just passing through.
Through to where?
I don't remember the name.
And we can't understand you to help you. Oh no.
He is speaking common. It's kind of slow, but it's still common.
Brashev is where we're headed.
Barstev.
Jesus Christ.
Forward.
I am from Brashev. I can lead you there.
Oh, cool.
That is so much more fortunate than what usually happens to us. That is wonderful. I did not expect
people that. Usually not treat you with kindness and respect. Is there a reason?
Like,
do you not deserve kindness or respect?
I feel like that's a pretty
deep. That's pretty deep.
Yeah.
I side Ivor.
Like, we're all contemplating that. We're all pretty respectable you gentlemen, like right?
Us to our core.
Like, what do any of us really deserve? Yeah.
And who decides?
Are we inherently good?
Are we worthy?
Yeah. Sometimes people do. but sometimes people don't.
I imagine that's true for all of us. It is not a good time in Brashev now.
Why is that?
Our shaman, he is sick. And Lode, you would know that within giant encampment, typically led instead of by the strongest or most brutal of the group, they are led by represents the most wise. Side for their entire life until they pass. So for a shaman to be sick is kind of like the president of the United States being gravely ill.
Is this like a meta thing? Is this like a Dalai Lama reincarnation belief they have, or is it just a cultural thing they have?
It's more of a cultural title. They designate one individual, and it kind of moves from generation to generation. They're kind of selected as a young age to become a shaman. And the shaman kind of teaches the older shaman teaches the protege the trade, and the shamans end up being the kind of face of the tribe. They do all of the trading with external cities and peoples, and they end up kind of representing the tribe in any matter.
Okay.
Jean's head pops up out of the snow, body completely fully submerged, and I go, "Is someone sick? I can help."
But you are... You are no bigger than my thumb.
He's magic.
Very true. I scramble out of the snow, and I said, "Yes, but I'm very good at medicine."
Yes, well, sir. My friend John is very good at helping people.
I suppose we could use the help. I hope you are able to pass with the approval of the white demon.
Oh,
I guess we won't know until we get there.
Hold up. Maybe we need to just talk about this for a second, because we heard about the sick shaman, but we didn't hear about the angry white demon. So maybe can we just have a quick sidebar?
have you not heard of the white demon? He's the white demon is our protector.
That white demon. Oh, yeah. No, he's a good one.
They protect over the ancient power. They
are you using they in the sort of like very forward thinking use of it for a non-gendered individual, or is there more than one?
More towards the non-gendered side.
Okay.
Would Lode have any knowledge of this?
Roll a history check. A 9. You.
Why are you rolling a history check? You're giant. You got the giant. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I would say you know that giants often give names to more natural occurrences that aren't necessarily indicative of what that being is. In short terms, the name the white demon doesn't necessarily indicate that the being in question is a demon.
In that sense. Sleeping nefariously.
I don't know. It looks like some pretty nefarious sleeping.
Well, number one, you got to establish if something's a threat. It's like, Okay, it seems safe for now, right?
Okay.
So do we need to go through, you know, Baroshikov or whatever anyway, right?
Brashev. Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to take us to Brashev if we help him, so.
Oh, but he's, oh, is he, are they not from Brashev? Is he not living in Brashev? His shaman is somewhere else.
No, he does live in Brashev. The Brashev shaman is sick.
Yeah, he's just going to take us straight to our destination, right?
Just kidding. Okay, yeah, even better.
Great. Yeah, we'll go with you, I guess. I'll look to the team.
I'll try to heal this guy. I don't want to make any promises, but I'll try to heal this guy. I'm having a hard time with the snow, though, so I think I'm going to pull a Teddy and baby Bjorn myself to load here so he can carry me into town.
Oh, you bet.
And I imagine the giant's going to be kind of just naturally clearing snow that we can kind of follow behind. Although we're also,
yeah, easily.
We also have horses.
You all are on horses.
I didn't mention it earlier because Tyler didn't make us do stealth checks for the horses, and I did not want to have to do stealth checks for the horses.
I completely forgot about the horses. So I fell off my horse into the snow and hit a branch.
We were trying to be sneaky, so we got off the horses. It makes sense. Yeah. So I'm going to get back on it.
Me too.
So the giant stands to kind of full height after kind of being on its arms to talk to you all, and stands up at a towering 12 feet, almost eye line with some of the smaller trees nearby, and he starts to kind of clear some trees out of the way, brushing aside snow. Jean, as you're getting back up onto your horse. The giant kind of brushes some snow off of a tree and it lands straight on you and you fall off the horse again. And the
screen for load.
the giant turns to load. My name is Woder. What is your name?
My name is Load.
Load. It is an honor to meet you.
You too. It's, you know, I've seen more giants in the last few days than I have in several months. It's kind of nice. Little change.
John sees giants anywhere he goes.
I stick my head out and I say, true.
All right. I'm checking. So you guys travel for another... just to kind of shorten travel a bit, with the kind of guide of the giant's protection, of Woder's protection, you don't really have to worry about many of the animals or other dangers that the forest hides. Having a 12-foot large creature basically barrel through the forest kind of scares off everything around it. So you're not really approached by anything. It's fairly smooth sailing, except the snow continues to pick up. As you're kind of moving throughout the day and into the next night, the snow almost becomes whiteout conditions. It's increasingly hard to see, and it's chilling. Like, almost an unnatural cold, as you're kind of trudging along through this snow.
I'm gonna ask Vore as soon as the cold really starts to pick up. I'm gonna say, Vore, this snow doesn't seem natural. Is it an illusion?
No, this is Utah.
Correct.
I don't think it's an illusion, but it does feel. It feels wrong, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not good with the cold anyway, so I don't know. Load, you're from places that are chilly. Is it normally like this?
I mean, I've never been to Brashev.
I suppose that's all we have to go off of.
Are we in the mountains yet, Tyler?
Bundle up.
Oh, yeah.
You are now in the mountains, yes.
So we can ask Woder how the...
if this is normal or not. Yeah.
He kind of thinks about it for a second. It's been cold in seasons before, but this feels extra cold. I've had to put on many furs this season. Doesn't feel right.
John, do you have any cold weather spells?
I can make a wall of fire.
That would keep us pretty warm.
It would keep us very warm. Maybe a little too warm, but it would keep us warm. That's about the only element that I really have.
Anything from you? Do you? I don't have anything.
For what?
Like a protection from coal, like a protection from elements or any spell.
I do have a wind wall. I take that back. I do have a wind wall. So if we can maybe figure out what direction it's coming, I could make a wall. But again, we should only really use it one time. I mean, it's a third level spell.
Oh, yeah. How long does it last?
Up to 1 minute of concentration. I think it's supposed to be used in battle, but I do technically have something like that.
Okay. Might be something I need to look into when we get there, see if they have anything like that, if it's going to be this cold the whole time.
Lode, you said you're not from this area, but do giants just handle the cold better, or are you just more used to it?
I think it's just a combination of acclimation and, you know, just generations of being ready for it.
Yeah, sorry, I meant to say orcs and half-orcs. I said giants, I realized we were just talking about them, but yeah, I think you got what I meant. Yeah. That's interesting.
Whereas I've met, you know, orcs and half orcs who were not particularly fond of the cold. But where I grew up, you either were fond of the cold or you left. Or you were fond of the cold and you left.
Either way.
You left. Those both make sense to me.
I guess what I could do is that I could do my Liaman's tiny hut if we wanted to stay stationary. And it would at least provide something like an igloo where it would be like dry and the atmosphere inside is comfortable is what it says, regardless of the weather outside. So if we needed like accommodations or just like temporary place to be, I could create that for us. So if that helps you answer your question.
That's good to know. And I imagine we haven't really been talking about it, but I imagine we've probably been using it right most of the time on most of these nights anyway.
Oh yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's good to know. I'm just, you know, wondering, you know, with us traveling, whether we'll want to get something, but we figure it out when we figure, you know, if we can, obviously right now, I think we just have to get there.
Yep. Yeah. That's wise.
As the snow continues to fall, night falls, and this is the, I believe second night of travel, since leaving Dry Gulch, and Woder kind of wakes you up the next morning after a fairly uneventful night. Again, having a giant accompany you through this forest does kind of put things a bit on easy mode. And he kind of wakes you up and really simply just slams his hand on the ground and causes a good rumble underneath all of you that startles you all awake. And he points to a small shape coming down the path towards you. It's about 130 feet away at this point and kind of moving towards you slowly, barely staying on top of the snow. It's having some issues walking through the snow. And actually, go ahead and make a perception check for me.
Sounds like a job for Gaius and Tobar.
Yeah, it's going to be weird for Gaius to do this.
He's really, he's only got a plus one perception.
Just take the first
one. Okay, I'll just take that first one. Cool. We got Tobar with the 18 as the highest. Tobar, you make out this figure, this shape fairly well as you summoned something fairly similar not but a day or two ago. It is a small cat walking in the snow alone. There doesn't seem to be anything else around, and it seems to be seems to have noticed the large giant and seems to be making his way towards you all. It's now about 80 feet away, kind of trudging through the snow. The fur is matted from being wet, and it doesn't look like it's had a great time. The fur is kind of orange and white in areas. And it gets a little bit closer, and you can hear it's meowing and hissing pretty audibly, even from where you are. The snow is dampening a lot of the volume, but you can clearly hear just above the dampened wind that the cat is meowing at you.
Go ahead, sorry.
What?
Tobar told the group about the cat, because they don't know.
Yeah.
I noticed it.
Okay.
I tell them about the cat, and I go, hang on, guys. Not looking too happy. Let me see what I can do.
I'm going to give you a bardic inspiration real fast just before you head out to do anything.
And then I'm just going to slowly start walking towards it with my hands out to its side until I'm within 30 feet of it. Smokey's going to be with me as well. And then at second level, I'm going to cast Animal Friendship on it. Okay. And just pretty much tells it that we mean it no harm. And depending on if it takes it or not, it's, becomes our friend.
Okay. You see the cat takes kind of a second as the spell kind of takes hold. And it kind of stops the cat in its tracks for a second. And then it kind of continues to move forward towards you, still meowing and hissing. It's moving. It's now about 20 feet, 15 feet away now.
Okay. In that case, that is when I'm going to just let it keep coming as well. And I'm just going to pretty much just let it come up to me. I am going to have Smokey circling above.
All right. As it gets close to you, it moves and kind of brushes up against your boots. And because you're kind of in the thick snow, it actually kind of brushes up against your mid thigh, just with the depth of the snow and how short you are in comparison. And as it kind of gets closer and brushes against you, it quickly turns and scratches, like paws at your sword sheaths, and kind of plays with them for a minute, and then sits there, looks at you expectantly, and then brushes up against your leg again.
Going to pretty much just pet it and get it under the ear, and you know,
normal. It starts to like lean away from it, and then shakes away and kind of steps back a bit, and then paws at your sword sheath and rubs against your leg a bit more.
Seems to want your weaponry, Tobar.
I just stick my head out and I say, Tobar, bring it in here, because it's like a fucking blizzard out there and it's nice and comfy in here.
With that, I'm going to kind of just take my sword a little bit out as I slowly start walking back, going, come on, this way.
As you take the sword out, it kind of follows the glint of the sword off of the kind of sunrise shining on the snow, and starts to look at it longingly, and then paws at your armor. Kind of jumps up as it's kind of chasing behind you, paws at your armor, falls down into the snow on its side, rights itself, and starts to continue to follow you a bit more.
Oh dear Lord. Okay. I'm just casting Speak with Animal.
Okay.
Oh, we just got off of a long rest. Let me just grab that long rest and confirm. Okay. Use Speak with Animal. Hey, guy. You want my sword or something?
Help me, goddammit! Help me get out of here!
Well, let's go this way, then.
Just kill me already. Goddammit, just... I've been stuck in here for 3 days. Get me the fuck out of here.
What happened to you? And I will get you out of there.
I don't know. I just woke up and I was this goddamn cat. Now get me the fuck out of here.
All right, let's go see our mage. Come. I'm going to go up to Vore and be like, so he's polymorphed.
What?
The cat is polymorphed.
The cat polymorphed?
No, the cat is polymorphed.
Oh.
As you're going back and forth, the cat is like turning and watching each person talk, and then sees Tovar's sword out and like tries to grab at it, like jump at it and try to grab onto it, pulling the sword into it. But it can't really get a good grasp, A, because it's a cat, and B, it's very wet. So it's just jumping at the sword and then falling into the snow, and then jumping at the sword and falling into the snow.
It wants to kill it.
It wants us to kill it?
Yeah.
All right.
No, not all right. I grab Lode's hairbrush and I start combing the cat.
He does not like that.
And drying him off.
So you start to do that, it like kind of reverts into an animal instinct and kind of relaxes for a second. And then you see like almost immediately the cat snaps to attention and then shakes off and then like runs ahead. Turns around and hisses at you.
All right, you know, yeah, I guess
let's kill it. Yeah, just fucking.
I mean, don't.
I would never say that, but.
Oh, all right.
You have a polymorph. Doesn't any damage like hurt it?
If it gets brought down to zero, it should come back up, but it'll still have taken that damage as if it was a person, right? So if it's a person who has the same health as a cat.
Shouldn't take much,
but I think John has polymorph, right?
I do.
Can you unpolymorph a polymorph?
What I can do is a counter spell, but I don't know if I do that on the target or against the target, and that's a DM question.
I believe because counter spell is used as a reaction.
That is.
Can you cast counter spell outside of reactions? I don't believe you can.
I think it's only to stop a casting. I don't know if it's like if it dispels.
You would use dispel magic.
Yeah.
Which I took off for counterspell, so no.
You can have it like tomorrow. You just need to re-prepare.
No. I don't have that option. I can only change my abilities when I level. So
okay.
I'm a stuck.
You can either use polymorph on it, but I don't know how that works. Or we can knock it down to zero hit points, and that should knock it back into poly.
We could polymorph it into a man, right?
Tyler, isn't there a non-lethal strike or something like that to where you can bring someone to zero but not kill them?
Look,
if you explicitly say that you would like to non-lethally damage somebody, you can use a unarmed strike to do that.
Would that take them to zero, or would that take them to one, though?
It would take them to zero.
Okay.
But it wouldn't kill him.
But I can stabilize a thing. So what if we just give it to Lode and let Lode play with it like, you know, Lenny
and the Bunny. I don't want it to be 200 hit points and he hits it for 8.
I think it'll be fine if we let Lode play with it until he smashes its head in and then I'll heal it back up and then it'll be fine.
Steinbeck, y'all.
Steinbeck. that's good.
Lode, if you want to play with it, go for it, man. I guess.
Yeah, Lode. Lode. Just give him one last.
The hype.
Man. All right, Lode. Go play with the cat.
Lode's rolling all over the floor.
I'm like extremely gentle and caring with the cat.
my hands are just like in my robes, just watching this happen, just like.
I don't think the best idea here is to let Lode get emotionally attached to this cat that we're about to kill.
Guys, I love him.
No, he's about to kill. You know, it'll teach him self-control. It teaches him responsibility. It'll be fine.
Right here, Lode. You know how to use
your
hands.
As you're stroking the cat is like are all four limbs are stretched out. It's fully just like, I hate this. I don't want to be here.
I either don't know or don't care.
I'll pick up the cat and just be like, hey, it's Smokey. And I'll have Smokey come down and just land on his finger, like just and just sit there and see if that catches his attention while I try and just take the cat off of him.
It doesn't. I'm playing with both animals.
Now Smokey's like,
all right, load.
Can we get a dex check? I want to see how dangerous he's being with these animals. You know, he's actually doing pretty good.
Yeah, he's. He's being gentle.
Yeah. I better know these animals know ill will, unlike certain dungeon masters we know.
Ooh. All right, Lode.
All right. Here. Can you knock the cat down to zero hit points without killing it?
Yes.
Okay.
Just like a good kitty chokehold, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Hey, cat.
And his name come here. Was...
Cat, if you can understand me, come near me. I'll end your suffering.
Lode, do you let the cat go?
Not after hearing.
There's no way Lode understands that there's a human in that cat.
All right. I make a minor illusion of an identical cat on the other side of the tent.
Whoa, check that out.
Lode!
Carry the one cat over to the other cat. Another cat. Look, a friend.
But you have to pick one. You have to pick one, Lode.
I let Smokey go.
Smokey, like, flaps away.
Can I just, like, walk up to the cat and be like, oh, let me pet this cat, Lode. I'm just going to walk up to the cat.
You just smoosh.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, like, heel of the hand, just, like, really quick to the back of the neck, just, like, bam, just like, really fast. Just like oh, you're...
Out trunks.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna pet him, and I'm gonna act like I'm petting him, be like, oh, you're a good kitty. Blah! Just, you know, do you want me to roll for an attack? Or
make a sleight of hand check, and then make an attack roll.
Alright, sleight of hand.
Bar's getting real close to using magic missile, folks.
Sleight of hand is 7. You know what?
That is lower than Lode's.
I'm going to use a perception. Luck. I'm going to use a luck point and
okay.
17.
All right, that is higher than Lode's passive perception.
Tight. And then what? Do you want?
Attack roll.
Then an attack roll.
Oh, sick.
The cat wants to be hit, though, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I? Does that give me advantage?
No, I would say Lode's likelihood to defend the cat would probably cancel out your advantage.
But Lode doesn't know the cat's about to be attacked. Because that's the perception, right?
Mm, true. True. A 12 would hit the 12 hit. Yeah. Sick. So, yeah, a cat is not carrying around some plate mail. You're likely to hit a cat with.
Doesn't fit cat in armor.
All right, let's roll damage on this bad boy. I don't know how resilient this cat is.
Smokey's getting plate mail. I've decided on this.
It'd be pretty cool because it would have to change form and everything too.
Yeah, it would. I'll just get him 3 sets.
You gotta get like druidic
water landed
every encounter, putting Smokey.
That's the first turn that Tobar takes in each. Yeah, 10 damage is definitely enough to knock out this cat. The cat drops its form, and Lode, you look down and you are now petting a naked half elven man.
I'm like half dream going like, what the fuck, right here, and then noticing that there's a man in my arms.
Reminds me of that time we spent the night together, because I'm a half elf.
Yeah, you see, Lode, sometimes when you pet cats too hard, they turn into people.
That should not be the moral of this story.
Minor illusion can back that up.
Wait, Lord, I'm joking.
You really kind of like shook my worldview there.
I was going to have John make me into a cat so we could just enforce this rule.
I polymorph him back into a cat. No. I roll a cure wounds at level 6.
Yeah, he should definitely still be alive. I don't think I killed him with that one.
Yeah, he looks like really rough. You look and you see a naked half-elven man with long shoulder-length stringy black hair, kind of deep-set green eyes, kind of a sharp pointed nose, and bruises and cuts all over his body. He looks like he's been through hell, and is just worse for it. Like, it's a surprise that he wasn't killed by the 10 hit points after the strike. He's definitely seen better days. And the 6 points, you see some of the bruises kind of improve their color, but you see it's going to take a bit for him to get back to full strength.
I said, hey, do you still want to die, friend?
No, I didn't want to die. I just wanted out of the fucking cat.
Why would you get into a fucking cat?
I didn't want to be in the fucking cat. If you think I could put myself in the fucking... You think I would put myself in the cat if I didn't know how to get out of the cat?
Why were you a cat?
I like I told this small thing, he points to Tobar.
Nope.
I don't... I just woke up and I was a cat. I don't...
Wait.
You just woke up as a cat?
The last thing I remember, I was in Portsford, and looks around at you. I'm gonna make a roll real quick. See how much he reveals. Sorry, trying out some new dice tonight.
Quite okay. All right.
New dice.
Now we have to see them.
Yeah, these are some. And a midnight blue dice with a sparkle. Ooh, nice. From
dope.
Kraken dice.
Mm. Are they, is it like plastic or is it, did you do one of their like special ones?
It's their plastic dice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like Kraken dice. Unofficial ad for Kraken Dice, I guess.
Sponsors.
Yeah. I mean, the Twitter account on at Magic Missile Pod already gave away a set of Kraken Dice to our 100th follower. We are now currently at 225 followers as at the time of this recording.
Wow. Who are these people?
Hey, there are listeners.
I'm one of them.
Who are these great people?
Okay, Matt, you're one of them. So we've confirmed one.
A lot of people who like D&D actual play podcasts and have been checking us out.
Bunch of pervs.
I mean, I jerk off during all these sessions, so that makes sense.
We got 7 viewers right now in stream right now. So
I apologize to all 7. Sorry.
6 perverts and Josie.
I'm not going to make the joke that I was about to
7 perverts.
I do apologize to Josie.
I'm not on the Twitch stream right now. I just see Tyler's face.
That's right. I guess I should hit that button.
Hey,
look at that.
There we go.
Teddy's over here.
That's better.
So not Teddy's what's bringing in the viewers over here.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy's rocking it.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, without bias, he is the cutest among us.
I mean, no, we're not playing Among Us.
He's not jealous, but Jean is definitely jealous. He would want to be Baby Bjorn just like that. So, okay, I'm sorry. So we knocked this guy out of cat form into an elf. He insulted Tobar.
Yep. He's currently kind of getting back up to his feet. You can see he's got a long scar across one of his cheeks, and he looks you over. Last thing I remember, I was in Portsford, and some associates of mine didn't like a business transaction I had made, and decided this was my punishment, I guess. I woke up one day and I was suddenly a cat.
These associates of yours, the people...
Well, yeah, what do you think? I talked with other cats?
No, I mean, are they people in, like, shipping, smuggling? What do you do? Why do you keep such bad company?
Tell us more information.
You could say I'm in the import-export business.
I was fucking hoping. I was like, please!
Art Vandelay.
Vandelay Industries.
Importing, exporting, and marine biology.
Listen, man.
You wanted to be my salesman.
We don't care what you're involved in. We're just curious.
Yeah.
We care a little bit about what you're involved in the reason we work at.
What was that for?
How far away is Portsmouth?
Portsmouth is roughly... actually, if we can go to a map here.
Oh, snap.
Mappy map.
So here is the map.
Oh, well.
So you are kind of around here. And Portsmouth is out here.
And I want to go here.
And we want to go here. okay, so I don't trust this guy as far as I can throw him. So unless you give us a good reason why we should give you clothes or even let you stay in here, I mean, we're going to have to ask you to leave. So hit us with your best persuasive argument here.
Oh, now you want to.
I don't necessarily want to stay with you. I just need something so I don't freeze my ass off when I get sent out there. That's all. Just send me on my way. I'll find my way back. I'd give these assholes what's coming to them.
You realize that it's like the storm of the century out there right now.
Yeah, I just braved it as a fucking cat. What do you want?
So your friends in the import-export industry... In Portsford,
mm-hmm.
Importing what? By ship or some other way?
Multiple means. I think that's about as detailed as I'd like to be at this time.
Is one so of man, them?
You are in the cards.
Yeah.
You are in the middle of nowhere. The only reason you're alive at all is because of our generosity. So you need to take the stats back like four levels. Well, we're going to kick you out there, and I don't care if you die.
He actually doesn't.
He really doesn't. At this point, I don't either. You were mean to my friend, and I'm not okay with that.
Listen, the only reason I'm asking if they came by ship, I just want to know if there are people who do dealings by ship normally, or if you're with people who are just jack of all trades. That's the only reason I care.
I mean, yeah, we do some trade by ship. It's mostly by land. Portsford doesn't have, ironically enough, a very large port.
Yeah,
it being kind of on a river, but the port accesses everywhere we need it to. But most of our trade ends up being by land.
So no one in actual shipping is after you or has a beef with you of any kind.
I hope not.
Cool.
Well, I'm probably the only one here who has a spare change of clothes, so I give him some halfling common clothes.
Okay. He puts it on and it's
twin slippers.
He puts it on and it's a crop top. It barely covers half of his chest. The shorts are don't even fit over his legs. He just like ties it as a scarf. And just kind of, all right, I guess I'll make do with what I got. You guys wouldn't happen to have anything to defend myself with, a old spare dagger, something I can make my way out with.
I go, yeah, I got something for you. And I'm going to pull off one of my short swords. I'll give him a short sword and two of my rations and say, this should help you. And then tell him back down the road about 50 yards or so was a nice little clearing that if he wanted to set up for the night, he could.
Guys, what if we get from the battle axe?
Listen, man, you're going to die out there.
100%, you're going to die.
That's his choice, guys. That's his choice. Like, if he wants to die, he's going to die.
If you really want to die, then I guess that's your decision, and I won't stop you, but you could, provided that you can give us even a reasonable reason for traveling with us, we can take you to the town that we're going to, and you'd have at least a chance of surviving, because right now I think you're at, like, zero.
I mean, you can... I got nothing to offer you, and you see everything. And he points down at his visibly naked self. The only thing that's covered is like the top third of his chest from the crop top halfling clothes that he's wearing. He looks down. I got nothing. I sell you on promises, but it doesn't seem like you'll buy any of that. So
I buy promises. I'm very good at making people keep promises.
Make an intimidation check.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can you make it? Can I say me too and give you advantage?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He kind of looks you over for and just like kind of smirks to himself, but looks over your shoulder and Rifier is just staring him down. Hasn't said a word this entire time and just like arms crossed looking at him. And he, all right, fine. I promise that, I won't do anything to hurt you, I guess. I have no reason to. I mean, given me literally all I have on me, so it'd be stupid of me to turn against that. He kind of looks to you. Do you want more than that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can tell you of my associate's stash in Portsford, where it's located. Feel free to raid it if you want, I guess.
Okay. That'd help.
Yep.
But
we'll take that info and all the information you can provide to us about the associates.
Also, okay. My friend here wants a cat, and I point to Lode.
I mean, I want to play with a cat.
Right.
That's my responsibility, John.
But he looks over at... He looks over at John. There's no fucking way I'm going to be a cat again. Like, you can kill me. I'm done with that.
Fair enough.
You'd rather die?
Than suffer through that bullshit? Yes.
Wait, was it me so bad?
Is there an animal you'd rather be?
I just want to be myself. Why do I have to be a goddamn animal?
Because you have no shoes? It's cold outside, and I don't want to carry you.
It might actually be more comfortable if we send you on your way, but we send you on your way as like a bear.
Listen, man, we're not the Valor Guard. We're not any kind of authority cracking down. We simply want to know who these people are and what they do specifically, because it might be useful to us later, either to avoid them or just so we have the lay of the land better. But you're not in a position to make demands or bargain with us.
Here's my thinking, right? We have enough horses for us, but we don't have a horse for you. So you're going to be on foot. Or alternatively, you can be a cat. Every night we'll turn you back into a person and you'll be able to sleep like a person. And during those nights, you'll tell us about your associates and about the stash and everything. You'll survive. You'll make it to the town. We'll part ways. If we get there and the stash isn't there, we're going to tell your associates that you're human again and send them after you.
Alternatively, if you don't want to walk as a cat, I do have a spare change of normal person size clothes if you want to walk as a man.
Why didn't you give them to me in the first place?
Because I didn't want to give them to you. What the hell kind of question is that? Like, of course that's the reason I kept them. Like, listen, It's a pair of pants and a really nice jacket I had to buy for a fancy ball. I don't really give a shit about the pants. I'll need at least the jacket back when we reach the town. I'm going to pull out the white pants and the navy blue jacket out from when we got, and I'm going to sort of throw them at him.
Cool. He changes and explains that the group that he is a part of is known as the Jade Hands. Sean, roll a history check.
Okay. God, I can't roll tonight. We're shit.
No, but a 12 is decent enough because the Jade Hands aren't necessarily that secretive. The Jade Hands are essentially the equivalent of a thieves guild in Portsford. They kind of handle most of the underground smuggling and general thievery within Portsford, and have a good number of contracts around the town. So their name is pretty well known in Portsford amongst people with similar backgrounds. So yeah, you have heard of the Jade Hands, but you aren't necessarily intimately familiar with them.
Okay. Do we have all the information we want from this guy? Because I have half a mind to just like turn him into a bird and let him go somewhere else.
I mean, I'm cool letting him come to the place. Like, hey, full disclosure, if you're not going to travel with us to the town, I'm going to need those clothes back. But like, yeah, I'm cool with whatever. I don't give a shit.
We can just let him travel with us for a couple of days.
I don't trust the guy, though. Let me ask him. So I asked him, I said, hey, do you want me to just turn you into a bird? It will last 1 hour. My polymorph is not as strong as whatever you had. You'll last 1 hour, so you'll have to keep track of time. And you can fly wherever you want. I'll hold concentration for an hour. And
what does our giant friend think of the situation?
Is he interested? Yeah.
He is. Have you guys included him in your tiny hut?
I can't fit him in the tiny hut. I can only fit medium size.
Yeah, so he's just sitting outside. Everything's happening in this dome bubble, and he can't really
That's fair.
Contribute. He's just kind of sitting there looking at the bubble.
But I'm fine with him travel with us. I'd rather him do that, because I think then we can beat him back to Portsford. I'm more worried about him lying to us about all this stuff, and then we do all this good stuff for him and get there and there's nothing.
I'm with Vora on this one.
Okay, we'll let him travel with us.
We get there and there's nothing. We started the day with nothing.
Yeah.
And that's one less person we got to take care of and feed and house and everything else.
The fear is if he slows us down, which we can't really have, and then if he does something stupid in the night.
Well, that's his own problem. He should just leave right now.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like something stupid to us if we let him stay.
I just didn't want to be a cat anymore. I'm sorry. I should have remained a cat if it's going to be this right now.
Issue. I polymorph and turn him into a cat for a second.
Well, I'm going to hear you. I'll shove my fish in your ass and your mouth like a fish. Walk away.
I want to talk to my friends.
Walk away.
With him again.
When he turns into a cat, you see him hiss at you, and the clothes that he had borrowed from Rife here fall around him just to the ground. And so he's just a cat coming out of the navy blue jacket, hissing at Jean.
I just give him the one moment, the universal like un momento sign. So
okay. Hey Tyler, would my speak animal still be active?
How long does that last?
It's an hour.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Be like, you did this to yourself, man.
God damn it, fuck you. If I ever get out of this, I'm just gonna
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
Find a way to get to
What are you gonna do? Huh?
Motherfucking what you gonna I'm do? Just gonna
I'm gonna have Smokey just come down and just pummel him.
Like, half of this conversation and a bunch of meows.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just hear.
I think we'll just take it to a vote, guys.
Let's just take it to a vote.
Do we keep him? Do we kick him out? I guess I don't care that much, but I vote to keep him.
Yeah, I say keep him.
What is that? To keep him?
Load, yeah, want to keep him? Tobar, keep him?
No, right. Kick.
Okay.
Kick.
Tobar's kick. John, I'm guessing you're
kick. Also kick, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Load, does John's decision affect yours?
No, it shouldn't. Let Load make his own decision, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I get that way you have to ask that, but...
Okay. 3-2, okay. Then.
So I go and I turn him out of a cat again. I turn off concentration.
And I look straight at him. I'm like, what are you going to do?
He gets up and stands at full height above you. And he walks over to you, looks down at you, puts his hand on your head, and just taunt me again. I dare you.
Hey, Lo.
Huge mistake.
You dumb.
What's your problem?
Lo, just break his arm, dude. Just
Lo, he hurt me.
We just need his brain.
How
does he respond?
As you guys kind of surround him and start to threaten him, he hasn't quite looked up yet, but he like pushes Tobar and just like, fine. Just kind of backs up, goes to grab the clothes that Rifeir had on the ground, Rifeir's clothes. And stands up and grabs them, stands over in the corner, if he can walk past you all. Stands over the corner and starts to get dressed.
I give him that, like, 80s high school movie shoulder check as he walks.
Shoulder check. he tries to, like, brace himself and go into it. And he isn't expecting how dense you are, and it kind of throws his balance off, and he stumbles and falls onto the ground, and he gets up and tries to brush himself off and still be the tough guy, and moves forward.
No one is ever ready for how dense Load is.
The most power of being a tall, athletic man.
Alright, so do we just go to bed for the night, I guess?
Are we sleeping?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, is there anything else that we want to do?
Yeah, before we go to sleep, I'm going to find out where his bed is, and going to take a little script from Critical Role. I'm going to pull out a wire, and I'm going to be putting or casting alarm around him, and I'm going to be telling him while I'm putting out this circle around him, if you leave the circle, I will know, and I will kill you. So. If you don't want to be killed at night, don't try anything funny. Got it?
My boy Liam Neeson's over here.
Liam Neeson's? That's what I say behind him. Fucking hype him up.
He kind of nods and just like still kind of sulking after being embarrassed that he fell when being hit by Load. Kind of nods and eventually everyone kind of drifts off to sleep. Easily enough. The next morning comes. The snow still hasn't really let up. Since you cast the dome, there's been about 6 inches of accumulation. And so you have to kind of step up into the snow to get out of the hut. And Woder kind of wakes up. You were in that for a long time.
I'm sorry, it's really warm in there, and I get cold.
Okay, well, you aren't really going to like Brashev, then.
Yeah, I go where they want us to.
Hasn't been a trip so far. So I guess we set out, and we filled the giant in on the way.
Okay, he kind of warily looks at your new friend. Who you eventually get the name out of him. His name is Davfin. D-A-V-F-I-N. Davfin. And he... At this point, he wakes up and just hasn't said anything all morning. is essentially ignoring everyone here.
Not by me.
So water continues to lead you on the path and walk you forward. There's a few felled trees in the way that easily enough for a giant, he just kind of picks up and chucks to the side, and you continue walking forward until you start to hear the sounds of a river rushing ahead. The rushing water echoes off of the snow-covered trees, and the dampened sound from the snow kind of stops the echo from going as far as it normally would. But you can see like sheets of ice being carried down this river as upstream ice is breaking off, and the river is pretty wide. It's about 75 feet across from one side to the other. Go ahead and everyone make a perception check.
There's a roll.
Yeah.
Had to have a good one sooner or later.
All right, so we got 18 for 4. Let's see. Oof. A nat 1 for Rifeer. Okay. All right. So actually everyone except for Rifeer. You can see as the snow is continuing to fall, the faintest flicker of a torch kind of appears on the other side of the river. And you see the torch kind of move north of your position. You're currently traveling directly east, and you see the torch kind of move north perpendicular to you up the riverbank. And you barely see it through the heavy snowfall.
I tell Smokey to fly ahead and figure out what and who that was.
Okay.
What and who what is? I don't see anything.
I explain it to Rife here.
Make a perception check for Smokey.
Okay.
Oh, delicious definitions.
Perception. That roll. Cool.
All right. Nice. 21. Yeah. So Smokey flies over, and about halfway over the river, Smokey kind of turns its head and looks a little northward towards where the torch is heading. And Smokey can make out a stone bridge that crosses this river. And as they fly over the river, they see the light from the torch being carried by a very large figure as it's kind of moving northward. It's hard to make out much else out of the snow, but it looks like one individual on that side.
Their fucking cat.
Devin, he's still just kind of standing at the edge of the bank. He's kind of like right here, not being able to see anything, and just kind of looks out. You all have kind of made, like, started to point at the torch, and he's like kind of looking around, like, what are you guys looking at? It's cold as shit out here. What are you guys doing?
Shut up, cat man. Shut up. Nobody wants to hear from you. Not yet. So I guess we go follow those torches, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, should we not?
Why would we?
They know a way across the river.
What about Walder? Does he not know a way across
the river? Walder kind of looks down and come, it's north. We must head north.
Walder, apparently there are some people over there with torches. Is that normal, or are they probably just regular travelers, or what?
Torches are not a good sign.
Okay, we don't investigate.
No, it's Broshev is on the other side of this river. The torches mean that The shaman doesn't have long.
Okay, we gotta go. We gotta make haste. Right.
How do you get across the river? Water.
By walking? And he kind of just starts walking across the river. Just wading right. through.
I've got my broom, so I can go over and attack people.
Yeah, I'll just... Okay.
What about our horses?
Also, Smokey did see a bridge about 100 feet north of where you are.
We go to the bridge.
But people were headed towards the bridge, right?
Yeah. People were heading towards the bridge. Water just heads straight out, doesn't even worry about a bridge, and just goes straight through. But you all could head to the bridge if you would like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to ride the horse over to the bridge.
You're going with Water? Make a constitution saving throw.
Can I send a message to Warder and say, hey, bud, can I get an assistance helping? I'm a little small. Or helping crossing the river.
Make a persuasion check. We'll allow it. Okay. Load, as you're crossing, the icy waters kind of get to you. It's a familiar feeling, one that you've felt many times being in the upbringing that you had, being thrown into the icy water on a whim, and not necessarily out of a joyful occasion. And it chills you to your bone. It stings and it burns. You feel your skin kind of like pulse hot, and you take 6 points of cold damage.
Are you okay, Lode?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
It does end up being more hurtful internally than it is externally, because of the memories it starts to stir up. Tobar, you reach out to Water and ask for assistance across the river. But Water's already kind of stepping into the water and just like gestures towards the bridge absentmindedly as he continues forward.
All right, I hurry on.
All right, so you guys make your way to this bridge. Water and Lode continue a bit south, about 100 feet south, and the remaining four of you. Do you guys cross the bridge? You've come to this bridge. It's about 15 feet wide and made out of stone. It's a fairly sturdy bridge, and it crosses from this side to the other side. It looks to be in decent repair. The stones that comprise this bridge are fairly large and natural looking. It looks like it wasn't a manufactured bridge or a crafted bridge, but more of one of necessity, one where large rocks were just kind of put across to make a path. What do you guys do?
I cross the bridge.
I get on my broom.
All right.
Ride my horse across the bridge.
Yep, I ride my horse across the bridge.
Gotcha. Cool. Make a perception check, the four of you.
Dang. I haven't done well with those.
I'm rolling so well, combat is going to be a disaster.
I'm the opposite. I've had one good roll tonight. Again, just ooh. Damn, even
and not happening for you, right here. Sorry, a three and a two is not going to be great.
Yeah, so the two is the superfluous roll. So I'll take the three. No, I'm not going to spend the work point to take that two.
Yeah. So Vore, as you're elevated on the broom, you see that torchlight. You've been kind of tracking it on the other side of the river, and you see it kind of meet up at the end of the bridge as you get about a quarter of the way down. And through the heavy snow, you look to your right and you can kind of see the outline of Lode and Water off in the 100-foot distance about south of you, trudging through the river itself. And ahead of you, you see another shape about the same size as Woder, kind of looking towards you with the torch in hand, kind of holding the torch out, trying to get a better view on the bridge.
I'll cast invisibility on myself.
Okay.
And then I'll fly further forward to sort of investigate.
As you fly further forward, you see another large giant, very similar in height and build to Woder, with a bald head with tattoos kind of on the side of the head on the right side, and kind of leather straps across the front of the chest, almost like a bandolier. And on the back of this bandolier are arrows. Instead of a quiver, it's all in a bandolier form. And he's holding in one hand the torch up, and in the other hand, a bow.
We say that his quiver is actually like a Donkey Kong barrel of arrows.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with a kind of narrow Donkey Kong barrel of arrows.
Var will cast Minor Illusion to make a loud noise the opposite direction of the bridge. So if it's like bridge, giants, it would be like over here.
Okay. So you cast kind of... From your vantage point, you can't really see much past him, as it's mostly snow past him. You see kind of the outline of some trees along the edge there. And so you cast this minor illusion, and he turns, and you hear as he starts to go investigate. And a couple seconds later, you hear... as two other figures come and investigate that sound too, kind of the point of where that sound originated. And they're just kind of looking around, trying to find in the snow and the tree line what could have possibly made that noise that brought them over there. Gobar, Rifier, Jean, what are you guys doing?
I'm sneaking across the bridge as quick as possible.
Yeah, I just got to get... going.
Yeah, my horse is in a good trot. I'm just been going the whole time.
Okay. Let me see here. Okay. Woder's about halfway across the river right now. Load, go ahead and give me one more constitution saving throw. So everyone with this con save. All right, you steel yourself with that memory that kind of brought you back. You've learned to kind of resist the cold a bit. You've been in this before, and so you kind of revert to your upbringing and steel yourself, and you don't take any damage, and you make your way up with Woder, and you're also about halfway. So Var is most of the way across the bridge. Everyone else is about halfway at this point.
I, because they're only about 100 feet away from us, I'd like to cast a message to Load and say, I'm so proud of you, and get him a bardic inspiration.
Load melts inside.
That warm feeling keeps you from taking damage on that last that last con save.
Tight.
It warms you enough to counteract the cold.
If you would have taken damage, I would have told you to hold hands while you're crossing the river.
All right. Everyone's halfway. We'll basically play this out kind of as turns, as initiative, but without rolling initiative, just to kind of get.
How far away are those? I don't know, whatever those figures are. Were they giants? Is that what they were?
They were giants, yes. And they're roughly about 30 feet off of the far side of the bridge from where you are.
And they don't see us, right? Just to confirm.
They don't yet, no.
Okay.
Or if they do, they haven't done anything about it yet.
Fair enough. Okay. Just curious. So we continue across.
All right. As you're getting closer, I'll need Rifier, Tobar, and Jean to make a stealth check for me. If you want to stay hidden. 15. Got some good 15s going.
Jesus. Wow.
I'll use a luck point and take the 18 over the 15.
Okay. So the rest of you continue on. You're about three quarters of the way across the bridge now. They don't seem to have noticed you. They're still kind of looking through that tree line, trying to find the noise that Vor generated. Vor, what are you doing?
I mean, I'm sort of staying near the giants, just kind of keeping an eye on them and waiting to see if they see the rest of the group coming across. But otherwise, just kind of floating, I don't know, maybe like 50 feet above their heads.
Okay. And then we'll cut over to Lode and Woder. Lode, one more con save for me. All right. You take 3 points of cold damage as you kind of let up for just a second as your foot kind of catches on a rock as you're sliding through, and you don't have that kind of warm steel reserve put together. The cold kind of gets you for a second, but you push on and stay neck and neck with Woder.
Lode, yeah, you did have a bit of inspiration, by the way, if you wanted to use that.
Yeah, but I was going to wait.
It's all good.
I have so many hit points.
It's all good, yeah.
Do you have more than me? Because I've got 30 hit points.
Let me take a note. I need to take a note of who to target first. Tank.
1,000 hit points.
It's spelled V.
Lode gained Vor's hit points last time he leveled up. He just like gets that per level.
Whatever Vor is, it's just your Lode plus Vor.
Multitudes of Vor. That's crazy.
I'm right, like I'm 2.5 Vors of hit points. Lode, you're probably what, 6 Vors?
Full 3 and a little bit.
Nice. Jesus, you have more than 90 hit points. That's insane.
So as Vor, as you're kind of hovering over about 50 feet over these giants, one of them kind of turns and looks back towards the bridge, just to kind of pick up on that patrol of looking out there, and starts to walk that way, not necessarily as intently as the original giant was looking, but just kind of walks lazily over towards where the bridge is. I cast
a light spell, not where the sound came from, but off to the left of that. So it would like the guy who's walking there would see it out of the corner of his eye.
Okay.
And I'll cast it on like a boulder or something. So it just like lights up.
Okay. Let me roll a couple things. All right. As you do that, all three of the giants right there turn and look at this boulder that is now illuminated and lighting up the snow. Tobar, Jean, and Rifier, you just suddenly see a bright light kind of appear on the far side of the bridge. And you kind of are taken aback by it because you weren't expecting it either. The giants make their way over, and one of them grabs a nearby tree kind of sapling about 12 feet tall and rips it out of the ground and holds it up like a club to go investigate this this light that is now coming out of this boulder without explanation.
He's just fucking with people.
Do Warden and I see the light as well or no?
At this distance, you don't. You might see like a faint like glow, but the snow is heavy enough that it obfuscates a lot of that vision. Okay. Right here, Tobar, Jean, what are you doing? You're about 15 feet away from the end of the bridge, and the giants are about 30 feet past the end of the bridge.
I'm just going to keep in a good trot. Just try and
keep clip clopping across.
Over with as fast as soon as I can.
Okay. And then load. Last constitution saving throw.
It's just a flesh wound.
All right. As you kind of get close, you see the end and it kind of gets you excited, which takes your concentration off of staying warm and staying focused. And you take 7 points of cold damage from the icy water around you. Woder doesn't look to be bothered by any of this and continues to kind of trudge at an even pace through. But the two of you have made it over to the other side, and Woder turns and looks and sees that you're still there. Ah. How would you like to meet the shaman?
I think that would be great. I don't know if we have time to wait for my friends.
Unfortunately, I don't think so either. And he kind of takes you and leads you a little bit into this tree line. And right past the initial set of trees, you see it's rough to call them buildings. They're more of kind of stacks of logs to make walls, and then another stack of longer logs to make a roof. And snow is kind of piled on top of them. They're all open. They're all kind of three walls and a roof. So there's no real enclosures. It's all just kind of almost small amphitheater kind of structures. But there looks to be maybe about two dozen of these structures, one of them much larger than the rest. And Woder kind of starts to head towards that area with you. Cutting back to the other four of you, Rifier, Tobar, and John, you guys make your way to the end of the bridge. The other giants are about 30 feet away, and you can definitely make out their figures now. You see one of them is holding an uprooted tree and is wielding it as a club as it kind of looks around this boulder, trying to figure out where this light is coming from.
Is
the other two... Devin is kind of quietly following behind you.
Cool.
Again, hasn't said a word, hasn't really made a noise. Being part of a thieves guild, he knows how to be fairly stealthy. And so he's just tagging along behind. He doesn't really have much reason to alert anybody because he would be as caught as you are. So Rifier, Tovar, and John, you guys are exposed and now within 30 feet of these giants that are standing around this very well lit rock.
I guess I'm less concerned about being stealthy at this point, especially if I see Load and Order taken off. So I think I'm just gonna, you know, get the horse into a gallop and try to catch up to them.
That's what I do too.
I would say at this point you are far enough away from Load and Warder that you don't really see where they headed off to. They kind of disappeared upon, behind the tree line. You saw their shapes kind of make it even with you, and then they kind of disappeared into a tree line. So at this point you aren't quite sure what's going on with them. You just kind of saw that they have made it across.
Are they? I guess I try to do a message spell and ask Load where he's at.
Okay.
If they're within 120 feet.
I would say you're just at the 120 foot range. Like, you're just within there.
I'm okay. Kvarashev.
Holy shit, you said it right. Jean's flabbergasted. Okay. What are you seeing? We're going to come try to catch up to you.
I see log buildings. We're heading towards a large one in town.
Is that where the shaman is? Because we'll head towards that same building.
I assume so, but I couldn't tell you for sure.
Okay, I start heading towards the large building that Lode described.
Okay, so for reference, since we have the map up now, let me refresh. Are you guys able to see the map as well?
See.
So... The four of you are up at the bridge. The giants are kind of off in this area looking at a rock. Lode and Warder came in down here, kind of through the tree line down here, and are going to be making their way into the settlement up here. So that kind of outlines, if you guys want to visualize it a bit more, that's kind of how you guys are approaching. And so you get, John, you said you're kind of foregoing being stealthy for the most part at this point.
Yeah, I'm in a gallop, you know, at this point.
Yeah, okay. I'd just be following John.
And I imagine that I would kind of have to go up this way around the trees. So
yeah, right. Yeah. As you do, the three giants turn and look and see a couple of small folk on horseback at a full gallop run, racing into town. And with all of the strange sounds and lights that have come thus far, they turn ready to attack. I need the five of you, Vor, if you want to join in on this, or the four of you to roll initiative.
Even if I'm not interested in fighting with them and just going by?
Yep.
Okay.
So we will go to here. So let me... this small bridge is a representation of the larger bridge, and I realize it's all black. Let me fix that.
No, I can see.
I may well see. Yeah.
Oh, you are? Okay.
So you're on the other side of the bridge from us?
Let me make it more accurate. Well, somewhat more accurate. So they are now close to you. This was set up with a different configuration for this encounter.
And the village is over here.
Yeah, let me make this a little more accurate. Move you guys to the right areas. Okay.
Well, Voir is flying, and I thought we were 30 yards away and on horses, so I figured we could just, like I said, just kind of sprint past him.
Yeah, so they are over here looking this way. Voir's kind of hovering over them. You all could definitely try running that way. You could also talk to them. They are citizens of this town, and I feel like if you just run past them, they may chase after you. I don't know.
Hey. Did you get my initiative roll?
I'm going to add it to the list now.
Oh, sweet. All right, cool.
I asked Tobar and Rifeir to talk to them because I got to get over to the shaman. Like, that's where I need to be.
All right.
As the healer.
We can do that, right, Tobar?
Sure.
Okay, so Rifeir, you're up.
I'm going to shout out to the giants and say, like, wave at them and say, hey, giants, we're here to help. We're here to help your shaman, and we've brought a healer with us.
Make a persuasion check.
Sweet. What is my persuasion? Oh, it's plus one. Like, oh no, it's minus one. Oh no.
Oh no, that's way worse.
How do you get the thing to do a minus instead of a plus?
D20
minus one. Type minus one.
Type.
/ roll D20 minus one.
That is a five.
I'll use a luck point and take that 16 instead.
All right. Cool. That works. So yeah, the first giant, the one that was holding a club, kind of looks at you confused for a second. Seeing a small group of people rushing into the city saying, "We're going to help," after seeing inexplicable lights and sounds. They're very confused and not sure who to trust. So the one holding the tree as a club kind of sits there and thinks for a second. You think you might have at least stopped him from directly attacking this round.
Sweet. And I'm going to wave over beckoningly, and then that will be my turn.
Okay. John.
I take off towards town. I do a dash action with my horse, and
Okay.
I don't actually know the horse speed, so I would say, but I'm not sure.
It's 60, right?
Yeah.
It's what you're able to get.
60 in normal, and then I guess dash would be 120.
120, yeah.
Yeah, you're well off the map at this point. So you are safe. I will remove you from the order. Vor, you are still hovering about 50 feet above the giants. You are invisible, and they do not know you are there.
I'll just kind of hang out. I'll save my turn. I don't even have anything I'm preparing. I think I'm just kind of watching how things play out for now.
Cool. One of the snow giants is going to start to travel after John, moving, kind of lumbering through, and with each step you feel the ground shake underneath you, and just kind of moving towards where John kind of rushed by, because they still weren't expecting visitors. The other giant, the one wielding the club, is going to move a bit closer to Rhyfear and lean down and look at Rhyfear and smell you. Just a big...
Yeah. Hmm.
And that'll be his turn.
How does he smell?
You would have to roll a persuasion check to know. Tovar.
So I'm going to ride up to the... Yeah, does that meet it, Tyler? 16?
Rhyfear smells like...
Potatoes.
I'm going to leave this to Rhyfear. Rhyfear, what do you smell like?
Rhyfear spends as much of his time possible being dry, so I imagine I would smell the way that a dog smells when he's been lying in the sun and his fur is just kind of baking. So, like, warm dirt, I imagine, is how Rhyfear would smell. Like, very earthy. Oh, nose ball.
Jean smells like peppermint.
Yeah, Rhyfear doesn't go out of his way to, like, have a smell. It's good to smell like the environment. No one can smell you coming.
Oh, it smells like a teenage boy.
So kind of
who's going to keep trying to douse him in peppermint?
the next giant kind of takes a stock of the situation, doesn't consider the two of you standing on the bridge to be a threat, and starts to head to follow the other giant.
So Tyler, I was gonna say, hail, my tall compatriots. I apologize for the person who just left. He is our healer. He is here to help with your shaman, who I know is in trouble right now. If you could lead us over to them, we will be able to assist you guys in anything you may need. But we're not really sure where to go and which building the shaman's in.
The giants kind of look you over, and you see the one that had dropped the club to begin with and smelled Rhyfear kind of looks you over, takes a quick sniff, seems all right to me, and kind of relaxes his shoulders. He doesn't seem as alarmed, at least for now.
I do not make a hearty stew. I just want to throw that one out there. Just making sure everyone
knows. All right. So we're going to actually just leave combat since they are no longer instigated. We're going to jump back to the map of Brashev. And Lode, you get to the what seems to be the town hall before everyone else. Water kind of leads you to the town hall, and it's mostly empty. You see a few chests along one wall. You see a large cot, if you can even call it that. It's more of a few logs tied together with what look to be like entrails of some kind that have been dried and turned into rope to hold the logs together. And on this cot is a very old giant. You see he's got tattoos on both sides of his head and a large gash across his chest that looks to have healed over a long time ago. It looks like it's just left a large scar. But outside of that, he doesn't have any clothes on his chest. He's got dark gray skin and the a kind of loincloth over his hips. And he looks to be breathing very shallowly. You see in his face, although his most of his skin is dark and gray, you see his face is starting to look a bit pale. The rest of you, John, as you're coming in, you see four giants start to head out towards the bridge in what you can assume is hunting gear. You see the leader of this kind of small hunting party with a bald head with a narrow mohawk down the center of his head. He's got straps of leather that all converge on a large metal ring in the center of his chest. And the straps wrap around to his back, and they hold a massive whittled staff in the back that curls into the ball at one end. You see three of the other giants carry kind of roughly crafted spears and a few nets. And it looks like they're out heading to go hunt.
Let me know if they pass me, Tyler.
Within a few seconds, they end up passing you. They're kind of not in a rush, but kind of heading out to go hunt past the bridge
there. Once they're about like within, I guess, your distance, I'm going to pretty much pick up that they're going out hunting and be like, "Do you have room for one more?"
They're caught off guard and. Who are you?
Well, the best ranger in the land. You're looking for an animal? I'll find it for you.
Looking for more than one animal, ideally. That's
fine.
Make a persuasion check.
Persuasion.
Hell damn. Good. Good work.
I'm going.
Yes, you are. I'm just writing down some notes.
Tobar just really wants to go on a hunt right now. That's all. He knows that he's not
going
to
be here. Totally fair.
Tobar gets picked up by his eagle companion.
So the mohawked giant kind of gets down on one knee and gets down close to you. We can't protect you. I hope you know that.
I won't need protection.
Brave for such a small fellow. I like you. My name's Rylus.
Tobar.
This here is Sletus and Muto and Racklog. And the other hunters kind of nod, and Rylus kind of picks you up and sets you on his shoulder. You're now 13 feet off the ground, just kind of looking down at the horse that Rifeer's on, Davin and Rifeer. And you are now going out on a hunt. We will come back to that in
a bit. No worries.
Tight.
Right, Tobar. The rest of you, Vore, what are you doing? Just still going to hover up there invisible?
Yeah, I guess I'll just kind of follow along and then... but yeah, I'll probably retain the invisibility for now and maybe just keep an eye on things.
Okay. Going back to the town hall with Lode, you see that this shaman's breathing is shallow, and he turns and sees as you come in with Woder. Woder announces that you're there. This is Lode. I've traveled with him for a few days now, and he said he was coming to Brashev. I'm not sure what for, but he is here. Maybe he can help. And the shaman kind of sits up up onto his elbows and looks over to you. It's good to see you, company. What brings you to Brashev? He's speaking in Giant.
Giant, okay. I am here. I'm also responding to him in Giant.
Okay.
Because it's unclear if he knows comment or not.
Mm-hmm.
I am here to return a cursed battle axe.
You speak Giant well. I'm surprised.
I had like a second family growing up who were giants as a young
kid. Where are you from, Youngblood?
I am from a town that I don't remember the name of.
That actually does seem like Lode.
The name of the town that you have put into your backstory is Fuba.
There you go. I'm from Fuba.
Anam Allfather bless us. Oh, it is you. You looked so familiar. Lode, right?
Yes, sir. Have we met?
Can you do me a favor? Please get that chest for me. And he points to a large chest up against one of the logs, against one of the walls. It's at this point that Jean rides up and kind of comes in.
I parallel park the horse and come in.
I turn around with the chest in my arms and see Jean.
Did I miss something?
Go ahead. Lode, open the chest. Oh, is this a friend of yours?
I bow deeply, sir, when I see the shaman.
This is my friend John. He's the healer. And I set the chest down and open it up.
You open it up and you see a horn that has been crafted out of an ivory, like a mammoth tusk, essentially. There's intricate carvings all along the side of it, and a gold mouthpiece on one end. And the shaman looks over at you. You see, Anam Allfather looks after all of us. He gave a very strong shaman long ago, he gave this horn to. And through many generations, this horn has been passed down from giant to giant, from tribe to tribe. And at one point, Linthos protected this horn for many seasons. I have traveled to Fuba, and he offered this horn as a sign of partnership between our two tribes. It only makes sense that it goes back to his rightful owner. You should take it.
Sir, you honor me, but I don't know when I'll be returning to Fuba.
You carry around Fuba everywhere you go. This, it is much a part of you as anything.
What if Lithos doesn't want to see me after I've left?
When I met Lithos, he told me of a young fella, not from his tribe, that would spend weeks with his family. I knew, regardless of who that could be, that dedication is loyalty.
Sir, Lithos and his family were doing me a kindness as much as I was doing anything for them.
Be that as it may, you are as much part of their family as they were family to you. You deserve this horn.
Thank you.
So this horn is a legendary instrument. I will read off the description of it because I think it's fairly cool. I found this horn in a collection of items posted on Reddit, and I'll make sure I have the credits in the show notes for this episode. But this is the Horn of Theorem. And Frost Giant Society values strength above all else, and its members live to raid, plunder, and pillage. This curved, polished horn beseeches Theorem, god of frost giants and snow giants, to recognize and reward raw strength. As an action, you can blow the horn and make a strength check, ignoring any bonuses or advantages granted by spells or magic items. And you and up to 5 creatures within 60 feet of you that can see and hear the horn gain benefits based on the results of your strength check. And I'll read off what those are. The effects last for 1 minute or until half of the creatures fall unconscious, or if no affected creatures attacked or taken damage. If you roll a 1 through 5, there's no effect. 5 through 8, advantage on strength checks for everyone affected. 9 through 12, advantage on the first attack roll that creature makes per round. 13 through 16, each creature gains 2d4 temporary hit points at the start of each of its turns for a minute. 17 through 20, +2 bonus to damage on strength-based weapon attacks, and immunity to frightened, restrained, and paralyzed conditions. And 21 through 25, everyone affected gets resistance to non-magical bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage.
Very cool, man.
And then once the horn has been blown, it can't be used again for 1d6 +1 days.
This is a legendary instrument?
Yes.
Can I see if that's something that like John would know? Can I roll like a history check or?
Sure. Go ahead and roll a history check.
Rolled a 14.
You aren't incredibly familiar with giant culture. You know that each kind of culture has their own legendary instruments that they pass on from generation to generation. You can assume that this represents a piece of high value for giant culture, but you aren't too directly familiar with this piece in particular.
Got it. Okay.
The shaman looks around, and at, by this point, Rifeir, you come trotting up as well, with Devin kind of trailing behind. The other two giants that started to follow John also come up and see that all of you are talking and just kind of decide not to interrupt. They kind of hold back, so they're they're no longer interested in any sort of aggressive attack. The shaman kind of sits up a little bit more, as high as he can on his elbows. He looks over the three of you. My name is Gatnar. I've been a shaman for many seasons here, and I don't anticipate I will be shaman for much longer. I've come to peace with that, as hard as it is for this town to accept. It is the Allfather's purpose that it is my time to come, and I look forward to seeing the Allfather when my time has come. My time protecting this tribe will have come to an end, and my successor has been chosen. Many seasons ago, our tribe was under constant threat from the White Demon. I appealed to the demon and established the protection that our village benefits from to this day. In exchange for protection from external threats, one third of all of our hunts would be captured live and released into the Frost Gauntlet. My successor, Rylus, however, is impulsive and brazen. He believes that protection's not needed, that as a tribe of giants we could take on anything. Our tribe is not full of warriors, though, and we would likely not survive. The White Demon is also very cunning. A straight-on assault through the Frost Gauntlet would be expected by the White Demon. And yet, that's exactly what Rylus expects us to do. Overwhelm with strength.
And I just left with him.
I'm. Is he speaking in common or is he speaking in giant?
He's speaking in common. He figures that with more varied a more varied audience, common would be the more common denominator.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if I needed to translate.
Well, we're doing a lot of talking. Like he's going away right now. I don't know. Can I kind of do a diagnostic? Just kind of look him over.
Yeah, make a medicine check.
All right, let's do this. Fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
Come through.
The short answer is the dude is old as shit. He's like, there really isn't a sickness that he's suffering from. It's just his internals are starting to shut down because he is just so old. You kind of guess based off of your medicine check and your initial kind of look that you can kind of expect that he's somewhere between 700 and 750 years old. This dude is very, very old. Gatnar has lived many, many days. And he kind of sees that you're looking him over and kind of brushes you aside a little bit. John, I'm sorry, he doesn't know your name. It's getting late.
I introduce myself. I tell him that I'm John. I do, you know, bedside manner with him. So
yeah, he kind of leans over. John, I appreciate you looking, but I believe my time is near.
What can I do for you to make you more comfortable?
Ideally, handling the White Demon.
What is it? The White Demon.
White Demon, as we have named it, is a creature that lives within the Frost Gauntlet. The increasingly terrible snowstorms, I believe, are due to the hunger and rage that this creature possesses. I don't have long now. I'm scared that Rylus will destroy the tribe due to his pride. Approaching the demon head on is a failed attempt from the start. There has to be another way. Rayfear, make a history check.
Make a history check.
Yep.
Okay.
I'd like to make a persuasion check at some point.
Okay. Go ahead and make a persuasion check now while I.
Okay.
While Rayfear gets his.
Jesus. Okay. Good roll.
What are you persuading?
I just want him to understand that we will do everything we can. That I mean, he's going to die, I think, as soon as we leave this tent. Like, I think John knows that. So I want to make it very clear that, you know, Mr. Shaman, sir, we are going to go out. We are going to protect and save your village. That is a promise. And we will not break our oath, and we'll go out right this minute, and we will try to speak some sense into Rylus, whatever his name is.
Rylus, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to use a luck point and take the 15. That's my last luck point for the day.
Okay. That's really good, because the DC was 15. The repeated name Frost Gauntlet finally clicks, and you remember coming through the area around the Frost Gauntlet with your clan before they settled in their current spot. That spot, as you kind of now recognize based off of kind of where you figure that this river is lined up and kind of some of the paths nearby, your clan is roughly 30 miles north of where you are. And you've lived there for quite a long time at this point. Your clan hasn't moved in a bit. But you don't remember snow ever being this bad. This is exceptionally bad. But you do remember that the Frost Gauntlet, under better conditions, isn't just like a single cave or that kind of area. It's a network of caves that weave through the mountains in this area. That all lead to a centralized chamber somewhere in the center of these mountains. You remember rumors that there was some sort of ancient power in this gauntlet, this Frost Gauntlet. You don't remember exactly where the entrance was to